It's got a death curse.
So it's bothering me like me.
And then who locked you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Horrible happening in my house. I'm so afraid this thing wants to hurt us. Please, please, can you come and take a look?
You applauded, Nick. You're like, well done, movie. Well done, yes.
Who's ever down there? I'm gonna lock you in now.
She says, if you're down there, I'm gonna lock you in. Although she got slammed in and got knocked down the stairs. That was my most favorite part ever.
Hey, wanna play hide and seek?
I don't give a shit. I fucking love that. I thought the way that was done was just fantastic.
Yeah, something you never want to hear in the dark in the middle of the night in your house is the laughter of children.
I know what she did!
I got you.
I know what she did! She possessed the mother to kill the child!
I noticed you had the fist in the mouth at the end of the film.
I was waiting for something to happen.
No! It talked to me! It said that it wants my family dead.
When Brian Stewart has his fucking fist in his mouth, you know he's riveted.
Ed, I've been in this.
Ed, goddammit, stop it!
Understand this, we are now fighting for her soul!
He calls her out. He calls out the fucking demon by her name and stuns her. As soon as he calls her by her name, you see the witch and she freaks out.
She's already gone. And now you're all gonna die.
Folks, this is your host, Cash Wampum, welcoming you back to another Horror 101 podcast. This is episode 54. We apologize for the wait for this one. If any of you follow us on Facebook or Twitter, then you will already have known that we had a huge debacle the last time we recorded.
It's all these damn USB microphones. I'm telling you, analog is the way to go. Gotta get some XLRs.
Big ass reverb, and there's no way of getting rid of it. I googled it and everybody's like, oh, you got big ass reverb on it? You're fucked. And I tried rolling with it and I started listening to the audio and I got 10 minutes in and my ears were bleeding, my eyes were fucking crossed, and I had a headache. Oh. And I'm like, I am not doing this. It was just that bad.
And how are we going to make it up to you for making you wait this long? We're going to do something a little bit more ambitious. Something we've never done before. The world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, my lovely wife, the nude, and myself are going to give the Horror 101 treatment to James Wan's The Conjuring.
But wait! There's more! Hang on to your seat, baby! Because this one's a screamer!
Conjuring 2 just came out the theater 3 days ago. 3 days prior to this recording. So we're going to watch The Conjuring and cover it, and then shoot right on over to Lakeshore, catch the second one, and then give the treatment to the second movie as well. We're calling it The Conjuring of the Two. How does that shit grab you? Shit. Fuck.
Both Brian Stewart, cult sensation Nick McPherson, has not seen The Conjuring. I thought, well, what a great opportunity to focus on the original Conjuring, which is now a couple of years old. Get these guys' reactions, because they haven't seen it. And just for our listeners, I sold this idea by telling these two gentlemen that I've seen The Conjuring twice, and a third viewing was something that I actually look forward to. And these days, I watch a movie, and even if it's good, one viewing is enough for me, but for me to want to watch a film three fucking times that was made within the last 10, 15 years, that's saying something.
Well, this is something we've never done before. This is new territory. We're actually going to go see a movie that just opened in theaters and then record our initial reactions to the sequel.
That's right.
But then the pressure's on because you got to get this one out while it's still relevant.
Yeah. I gotta kind of double time this one, right?
I must get home while the hate is still fresh.
Is the new one directed by the same one who did the first one?
Yes. Consult the Oracle. Let's double check that. But I'm pretty sure I did see that James Wan did direct this one. James Wan directed The Conjuring. And right after The Conjuring came out, there was a spin-off movie called Annabelle. You remember seeing that one that came out about the doll?
Oh, I heard about the doll. Okay, yeah.
Which a lot of people shit on, but Newt and I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
But yes, James Wan did direct the second one.
Okay. Was there something else that he directed? Was there another horror film that he directed before The Conjuring?
He did Insidious.
Oh, Insidious!
Yeah, he did Insidious 1 and 2, and...
I never saw the sequel to Insidious.
Death Sentence, Dead Silence. He did the original Saw.
The original Saw. He directed the original Saw.
Yep.
Which was a fantastic film.
The second was much better, though.
The only thing about Insidious was, I don't know who wrote it, but all the tension that was built up was destroyed by the end of the film when you got that cheesy CGI Darth Maul chasing him through the dreamland. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we lost it.
I'm like, whoa, what is it? No, don't do that. You just went over the top. Everything else was nice. Like when Barbara Hershey's telling her story about the thing in the corner that just raised its arm and pointing at this kid that's stuck in a coma, that was creepy. And then to give you a jump scare of her seeing the face of this thing behind Patrick Wilson, it was all very well done. And then it was over-the-top CGI bullshit. The one thing I'll give Insidious, though, is that it allowed Lin Shaye to shine.
The one thing I'll be watching for, and I'm watching this with some caution, because you and I split on modern horror quite a bit.
Okay.
There's a few... I mean, we split on...
Crimson Peak.
Crimson Peak.
Yes.
You didn't like Eden Lake, and I loved it.
Oh, no. It wasn't that I didn't like Eden Lake. It's that the movie fucking pissed me off.
Oh, well. I just hope we're not going to get some of the staples that I can't stand in modern horror, which is a heavy reliance on jump scares.
Yes,
you know, please. The kind of jump scares you can set your watch to. I don't want to see that. I don't want to have a rhythm where I can be like, and 3, 2, jump scare.
No, my favorites are the ones, should I say my least favorites are the ones where they lead it up so that your brain is like, I know it's coming, but then they wait like 2 seconds later. So you're like, oh, okay, false motherfucker!
Yeah, that's it. And I want to see a properly established mood. I want to see some atmosphere.
All right, that's good, Drew. You can shut it down now. Hit the lights. Any questions?
Yes.
So, what are you guys? I mean, what do people call you?
Well, we've been called demonologists. It's one name for us. Ghost hunters, paranormal researchers. Kooks.
Wackos.
But we prefer to be known simply as Ed and Lorraine Warren.
I do like the fact that the Warrens are introduced fairly early on and they're at the start of the film and kind of woven into the movie as well as they are. Instead of having them just like in Poltergeist just show up when the paranormal threat happens, then, we need a psychic. We'll go find one. Here they are. That's one thing that they kind of do better, I think, than other Haunted House films where you kind of get the experts from the beginning.
Is he rich like me?
Coming through!
Has he taken us?
Whoa, watch out, Dad!
Where do you want it?
Oh, that goes in the living room.
And I think it works also better because it's a period piece.
Yeah, it's set in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
No cell phones, no gimmicks.
Remember I said before, like half of the movies from the 80s and 90s that are decent horror flicks immediately fall apart as soon as cell phones come into the mix.
Right.
Honey, have April come in, okay? It's gonna be dark soon.
Yes!
The Conjuring is based off a famous case that the Warrens had investigated back in the early 70s involving Carolyn and Roger Perrin and their 5 daughters. We watch this family move into an old secluded farmhouse looking for a fresh start. They're likable, decent people who have just sunk all of their money into a picturesque, haunted, fucking cursed property. Granted, it's a story that's been told many times before, and the writers know it. Because as things for the Perrins go from, gee, that's curious, the clocks all stopped at once, to, wow, that was scary, I wonder what's going on, to, oh shit,
I think we're all in terrible danger. As you watch their situation evolve into dark territory, The Conjuring deliberately borrows heavily from classic haunted house films.
A lot of little touches and homages to past horror films about haunted houses.
Sure, you
had the ball from The Changeling. They had their own little ball in the basement that came out of nowhere.
You had the TV on Channel 3.
Yeah.
The love seat on the front deck that kept swinging into the
Evil Dead. Don't forget, even back in the 70s, you know, not every channel went to a test pattern. Like, when they were done, they just cut air, and then you just got static.
Snow. Yeah, I remember the snow days. Absolutely.
But, yeah, this kid definitely did his homework.
Even finding the hidden cellar in itself reminds me of Amityville Horror. Because remember they found that hidden part of the basement where the boards were broken open?
Yes.
I don't want any of you girls going down there. The place is loaded with spiders.
Ew! Oh! Stop it, Nancy! Stop
fucking. I wonder if I was boarded up.
I don't know.
Okay, guys, show's over. No, let's go. Up to bed. Please, thank you.
All right,
Ben. The only other thing I wish we would have had was a little bit more time with the individual daughters to kind of get to know them differently than in just a group of sisters. We don't really get... I don't remember any of the daughters' names, except, you know, and I don't recognize them each individually. They were all just kind of five daughters. That was it.
Well, we know one sleepwalks.
Yes, yeah. A somnambulist.
What about the one?
One had glasses. That was it. That's all I knew about her is that she wore glasses.
We know the oldest one wasn't too happy about moving there.
Yeah, that was introduced in 10 seconds at the start of the film. Then after that, they were indistinguishable to me. They could have been daughter number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Dad?
Andrea, what are you doing out of bed? What's that sound?
It's Cindy. She's in my room. She's sleepwalking again. I've never seen her do this before. I remember you saying not to wake her if she's like this, so...
No, we just put her back to bed. Hey, sweetie.
Shh. One thing I absolutely expected in this movie, and thankfully we never got, given the way that we are constantly just attacked with sound, I thought when they approached the sleepwalking daughter, she was going to start screaming.
Go that, nuts in some
yeah,
way.
Yeah, that would have been good.
I was waiting for that, and thankfully they didn't do that.
Newt!
My eardrums are thankful.
My, honestly, my close runner-up is the daughter in the bed freaking out. It's behind the door.
Oh, that was good.
That
too.
Was good. Yeah. Like she sold the terror.
Oh yeah, that was childhood terror there.
Christine!
No! Hey,
no!
What's going on? What happened?
There was someone else in here.
What? Where?
By the door. It was behind the door.
Honey. There's nothing in here. There's nobody
Dad,
in here.
No, no. It talked to me. It said that it wants my family dead.
One thing I'll give The Conjuring, things go from zero to fucked up real fast.
Who is that?
When the mom had heard the piano, that one note on the piano, and she thought, who's down there? So she's going to investigate. She says, if you're down there, I'm going to lock you. And also she gets slammed and then got knocked down the stairs. That was my most favorite part ever.
Who's ever down there, I'm going to lock you in now.
The scene with the mom going in the basement is probably that's the hook for the movie. That's the point where shit just starts to happen.
You don't know what the fuck's going on at that point. Yeah,
like, no, that's like the rev up point for it. Honestly, that was probably my favorite sequence in the movie.
Wanna play hide and clap?
I don't give a shit. I fucking loved that. I thought the way that was done was just fantastic.
Yeah, something you never want to hear in the dark in the middle of the night in your house is the laughter of children.
Which brings us to the three stages of demonic activity: infestation, oppression, and possession.
A little history on the real Ed and Lorraine Warren. These two founded the New England Society for Psychic Research in 1952. In their time, they've claimed to have investigated thousands of alleged hauntings and possessions, and with all their notoriety and that mysticism, they are the Mary and Joseph of the paranormal research field. Lorraine claims to be a clairvoyant medium who will arrive at a situation and through her gift determine the source and identity of the paranormal influence, and then her husband Ed banishes or exercises the presence through prayer. They've been the focus of many books on the subject and have made a fairly healthy career through ghosts and demons.
These people were hunting ghosts like 30 years before it was even a fucking thing.
Were these the two that investigated the Amityville house?
They most certainly did.
Okay.
There's something horrible happening in my house. Could you come and take a look?
You know, it's getting kind of late. We really need to be heading.
No, you don't understand.
Oh, but we do.
There's usually some sort of rational explanation.
I have five daughters who are scared to death. I'm so afraid this thing wants to hurt us. I mean, you have a daughter. I mean, wouldn't you do anything you could to protect her? Please. Please, can you come and take a look?
Of course we will. Of course we will.
There have been so many different versions of the real Perrin case story given that it's very difficult to establish the facts. What we do know is that the Warrens were sought out by the family after a bunch of paranormal instances, and after visiting the property, Lorraine identified the malevolent spirit of a woman who resided on the premises over a century ago, the spirit of Bathsheba Sherman.
I've been seeing the dark entity that haunts your house and your land. I saw it first when I came through your door. It was latched to your back. And then I saw it again with the girls when we walked into the living room. And it doesn't matter where you go, this dark entity has latched itself to your family and it's feeding off you.
I thought when they showed up to the house, there'd be a little bit of work to do to convince them because they'd immediately be in debunking mode. And I expected them to go around the house saying, well, it could be this, it could be that, but they kind of bought into it quickly.
She said she could see it as soon as she walked in the house.
Yeah, she saw those whatever entities.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's what I was expecting.
But the husband was picking up off her. Like, when she walks into the house and is immediately like,
Yeah, and you could, that's the good thing about watching this movie the second time, is watching her reactions to initially walking in.
Yeah.
You can see on her face that something's not quite right, but she's being discreet about it. She doesn't want to scare anybody, but she's like, yeah, there's something here, I saw it here, I saw it here, I saw it here. Oh, by the way, shit's really bad, and you're in danger, and you can't get rid of it unless we do this, that, and the other thing. Of all the things that made you guys jump, it was when she fell through the fucking floor.
Oh god.
You guys didn't see that coming.
I was not expecting that.
Well, you don't expect somebody in a crawl space in the attic to fall into the friggin' basement. No, I don't expect that. In fact, she got up at all. It was impressive. But while you're down there, it almost looked like from her vantage point, she was in a hidden part of the house. It was like a different dining room or something. No, it looked like she was in another house.
I figured it was the cellar.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hard to see from where she was.
But yeah, because she fell a long way.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that she, was able to walk upright afterwards means this chick's made of titanium.
And the scenes thereafter, when she runs into the ghost of the 1930s mother.
Yeah.
Who was there, look what she made me do. That was creepy because I didn't expect it. That was the only time in the movie when I actually really jumped. Because it was totally unexpected. And you applauded, Nick. You're like, well done, movie. Well done,
yes.
I know what she did.
What?
She possessed the mother to kill the child. She visits Carolyn every night. That's what the bruise marks are. She's feeding off of her.
This isn't just a haunting. This is a cursed property, and this Perrin mother is marked. Suddenly, it's a race to save her from Bathsheba's possession before she commits infanticide, forcing the Warrens to conduct their own exorcism. And as far as movie exorcisms go, this one is fantastic.
Vade retro, Satana. Santa Michael Arcangelo. Defende nos in praelio.
And I would have thought that once the exorcism began, that it would have been pretty humdrum, that it would be pretty paint by the numbers. Because once that starts, it's like, okay, so there's going to be the Battle of Wills and they'll win. And it's not that easy.
Stop it!
Understand this, we are now fighting for her soul!
In the name of Jesus Christ, the saints and all the angels, I command you to reveal yourself!
Let her go! God damn it! Let her go!
She's already gone. And now you're all gonna die.
I love this film. There's like 20 different things that I could say were my favorite, but I remember the one thing that really hit me when I first saw the movie was just after the exorcism, when she turns to the husband, she's like, she's already gone and you're all gonna fucking die. And then she hears the kid she hears that they found the kid in the floor.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. She grabs the scissors and she goes into the hole. And just as she's about to plunge him into her daughter,
He calls her out. He calls out the fucking demon
Bathsheba.
By her name and stuns her. As soon as he calls her by her name, you see the witch and she freaks out. That was very good.
Let go!
Bathsheba! By the power of God, I condemn you back to hell.
That's how you get their power. That's how you stop them, if you get their name, right?
And part of from The Exorcist, too, if they tell you their name, too, mm-hmm. right? Remember
your name. Your name. Yeah. Amityville 2, tell me your name. You know my name. You know my name very well, Father. Nude, score it.
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. An 8.5 out of 10. I really, really, really liked it. Considering it's a rather new movie and done this at time and age. Yeah, jumpy scenes, but not to the excess. You know what I mean?
That wasn't all it had.
No, it had dread.
It had a good story. It had, like Nick had mentioned earlier, a period piece, which made it, everything was perfect and it fit to the era.
It's hard to make a modern day horror flick. Like, it's just...
Yeah, I agree. No, but I loved it. And the second time was just as good as the first.
That's what I was talking about. It was here when we moved in. There's also a lot of stuff in the cellar. Show me the cellar.
Yeah. We're under duress here because we got to get going to the actual show. The show's in 25 minutes. Nick, score it!
I'm going to give it an 8. I was going to give it an 8x5, but to be honest, I couldn't get past the soundtrack. It was too much, so I had to deduct a half point for it.
8.5?
It wasn't 8.5. It got brought down to an 8.
My name is Ed Warren. It's November 1st, 1971. I'm sitting here with Carolyn Perrin, who, with her family, has been experiencing supernatural occurrences. Okay, go ahead.
And world famous Brian Stewart.
I'm gonna challenge 8.5.
8.5?
Yeah, again, the only thing that really bothered me is the excessive soundtrack.
Really?
That, and again, I can't, there's a lot of things in here I can't buy. Like, you wouldn't first check to make sure the house had a freaking furnace before you sunk your life savings into it. So, some things don't add up, but they gloss over it, and there's enough good stuff that
it's
I can.
It's a lovely home. It's heated by the fires of hell, which is, you know, excellent cost savings.
I noticed you had the fist in the mouth at the end of the film.
I was waiting for something to happen.
When Brian Stewart has his fucking fist in his mouth, you know he's riveted.
Performing an exorcism is an archaic procedure. Requires years of training, and even then, I have seen it go horribly wrong.
You know what? I'll give it a 9, and the fact that I like this movie almost more and more each time I see it, I can guarantee you in 10 years, I'll be giving this movie a 9.5. I can guarantee you that the score for this movie for me will probably go up over time, and I am very excited to see what they do for the sequel. Yeah.
To the car!
To the car. We got to pick up the sprinkler. The sprinkler's coming with us. We're going to pause this. We're going to come back for the first time ever to review a film that is brand fucking new right here at Horror 101, Educating Your Fears. Let's do this up now. 8 miles high. So we picked up our friend Steve Staples, we call him the Sprinkler, the five of us head over to the Lakeshore to get the 9:25 show, we get there just in time. 2 hours and 13 minutes later, Nude candidly records our initial reaction when we walk out of it.
Fuck!
Yeah.
What? Are we recording here into Helen's phone?
No. She was supposed to record that we're not supposed to say anything yet! We must go back to the Yetis.
They're calling it England's Amityville. There is a family that desperately needs our help.
After everything we've seen, there isn't much that rattles either of us anymore. But this one still haunts me.
Haunts me with inferiority. And what discussion did you two have in the car? I'd just like to say that fuck that movie. It really pissed me off.
Yeah.
Mixed bag.
We eviscerated the shit out of it. There were things we did like. There were scenes we liked.
Moments. Yes. I have to say, the actress who played the young girl, wow, she was really good in this. I just wish she was in a better movie. Because her performance was rock solid. But real mixed bag.
The second film is based off another case from the files of the Warrens. This time we're in England for the Enfield Poltergeist.
This was a hot story back in the late 70s about a single mother and her four kids suffering a haunting. But after I've read all the official findings, listened to the audio tapes, and seen the videos gathered by the researchers, I am certain that the real incident was a clever hoax perpetrated by a couple of very talented and attention-starved girls. And since Conjuring 2 is the first new film that we're covering, we'll keep the spoilers down to a minimum. Needless to say, we were not thrilled with this film at all.
I liked just the beginning because how it introduced, picked up where it left off from the previous. Because at the end of the first movie, you guys already touched upon this, but they said they just got a call about a house in Long Island, and we obviously know it was the DeFeo family. And they started off at the, I guess it was a seance, and the house with the windows, which is like my favorite part of that, pretty much. The house itself, because they look like eyes, right?
It reminded me of the Indiana Jones intro, where it has nothing to do with the actual plot of the movie. It's just there to establish the tone, the action, right?
Yeah.
Because in the first movie, we got the Annabelle story,
yes,
which had nothing to do with the actual Conjuring. It's just a way to introduce the movie. For me, it was like the Indiana Jones intro for horror films. It was a completely unrelated kind of other story of theirs, just to get us in the mood.
The Conjuring 2 has twice the budget that the original had, and in our opinion, all that extra money was put in the wrong places. James Wan has proven that he knows how to set up some good scares and instill a feeling of dread. And there are times in this film where he exercises that perfectly, but like Insidious before it, any tension built up throughout the film is constantly destroyed by laughable CGI threats. And speaking of laughable threats, let's get to the Marilyn Manson nun.
The nun thing.
Oh, the Marilyn Manson thing.
Yeah. The nun thing that she sees there, and that's,
you know, if we had just gotten a regular looking nun, that would have been more terrifying. But what we got was, and I can't, this is the best word I can come up with to describe the threats in this movie, cartoonish.
The demon itself came from the Amityville house, right? Because that's where she looked in the mirror and that's where she saw it, and then it was...
No, the first time
she... Am I wrong?
You're incorrect.
It came from the house, from the mirror.
No.
It came before it, when the exorcism years ago.
That's right.
It's been stalking her ever since, so anytime she goes to a spot where there's demonic... Basically saying it's like part of the reason why, you know, something took too much or blah blah blah, what they said in the first movie kind of implies that anytime she goes near something like that, it allows the creepy nun monster to kind of keep fucking with her head.
Whatever Lorraine sees, feels, touches, it helps people, but it also takes a toll on her. A little piece each time. A couple months ago, we were working on a case. She saw something. It took a real big piece. When we got home, she went into our room, locked herself in, didn't talk, didn't eat, didn't come out for 8 days.
We should never have found out why she went into shock.
No! You know what? There was part of me that wanted insight in there, because I thought that was a really interesting part of the original Conjuring, and I was intrigued. Like, what did she see? You know, like, how bad could it have been?
Yes.
I'm thinking that she saw, like, Dante's Inferno.
Exactly.
Like H.P. Lovecraftian old god
Eldritch abomination.
Yes. Like, in a blink of an eye, she was given a tour of hell kind of deal.
Yeah.
And that just broke her. Yeah. That's what... No, I saw
there was a
Marilyn Manson nun, and you... Died in the corner.
You got poked with a stick.
And like, that's what you saw, but that wasn't...
It was a really big stick.
You know, very big stick.
Wait, that's why you locked yourself away for 8 days? You saw my death?
You've seen it too. The demon in your painting is real. We have both seen the same inhuman spirit. It's a warning. If we keep doing this, you're going to die.
I didn't think for 1 minute that Ed was going to die. No. There was not one fucking minute in this film where I thought that Ed Warren was going to fucking be dead.
Maybe it has something to do with the fact they're based on real people in the real world that we know fucking lived.
Right.
I mean, seriously. Well, yeah. But yeah, Nick and I had concluded that the movie broke at the exact same moment for both of us.
Yeah, exactly. And lost us at the exact same time.
It's like, yep, I'm out. That's it.
The fucking creepy Tim Burton thing.
The dog transformation. Yeah. Is where we're like, oh, what the fuck?
Bear in mind, in my mind, now when I think back on that moment, when the dog does the thing, I actually have the Transformers sound in my head.
See, you thought Transformers, and all I could think of was were those stupid, incredibly complex instructions on how to transform the dog.
There was the Crooked Man. He walks a crooked mile.
You know what? I think they, for some reason, I think they took a cue from the movements of the Babadook when they did that. But the thing about the Babadook was that it was a blink of an eye effect.
Yeah.
It was very slow. It was quick, and then it was gone. So it didn't overstay its welcome. In this case, it was just like...
It was the thing.
Please stop. Don't do the... What are you doing?
What's wrong? Mom, who's that?
The demonic nun thing, I like that visage.
Hold on.
Let me continue.
I know where he's going.
Let me continue.
When
her daughter gets wind of something and she looks down the hallway and it's just standing there at the end of the hallway. That was a good effect.
Yeah.
Because less is more. If you're gonna use creepy fucking demonic nun, less is more. But the whole fucking CGI Darth Maul shit at the end of the film was such a letdown.
What about the effect with the shadow going across the room?
That I liked.
And then the hands come out beside the...
That was good.
That was not over the top, though.
And then it went over the top with creepy CGI painting that's coming across the fucking room at you. Like, you don't need that. Face.
But yeah.
The best part of that was when she was... The lights went off, and the closer she got to the light, the more real the picture was. Yes. And then the eyes started moving and looking at her. I'm like, talk. Say something. Give me something. Curse her. Do something. Why are you here?
Here I come.
Am I talking to the spirit that's oppressing this family?
Is that what I am? Is that what I'm doing?
The part where they were basically talking to the old man, but they all had to turn their back. I like the way that they filmed it because he was in focus and it was totally blurred, but the way it was, it actually kind of morphed a little bit, so it almost looked like skeletal, like the whole lower jaw was moving when he was talking.
Yeah.
I did like that.
Almost didn't even know that it was human at that point.
Well, yeah, just because of the distortion and that, like, it was so horribly out of focus, but at first, you know, you could kind of tell it was the girl. Then it just kind of seemed to morph a little bit, and it almost looked like... I feel bad saying it, but it almost looked like a Canadian from South Park. Because it looked like the whole bottom half.
Hey, guy, how you doing?
You Canadians are all alike with your beady eyes and your flapping heads.
That's racist. Ma'am, you are racist. That's a racist statement.
Let me put it.
Okay, I'm finished.
The first movie... quote-unquote, based on a real story, and I'll accept it for what it was, sure. Based on real events, okay, this is a distortion maybe, but I went along for the ride. This one, based on real events, fuck you, no, none of this was, no. There was no transforming Tim Burton dog, there was none of this crap. And what really bothers me, and this is a cheat, an absolute fucking cheat, shame on you, James Wan, for doing this, but when you take, based on real events... Take the camera across the street, back into the now abandoned apartment, and you show us something that nobody could have possibly witnessed that is a fucking cheat. I mean, unless somebody could retell the tale and say what happened there, we should not be seeing
it. And in the first one, they were never the sole narrators. There was always somebody else around. There was a camera guy, there was a sound guy, there was a detective, Officer Bart, or whatever the fuck his name was. Or a family member, there was, you know, it was never, but the entire end sequence was just them in the house with a little girl. Honestly, as a movie, it sucks. As a clip show, it's actually not bad. Like, if you were to cut this up into, like, multiple, like, 2 to 3 minute segments, they'd be fantastic.
As something based on a true story, it's laughable.
Oh, God, yeah.
The liberties are ridiculous. Well past the point of me giving a damn anymore.
Yeah, I know I'm no Picasso, but didn't think it was that bad.
Well, over and all, it was a great evening. We had a good time watching The Conjuring. You guys had never seen it, and, you know, I knew you guys were going to like it. You scored it fairly high. You enjoyed it.
And I still enjoy it. I still enjoy it. It's a far better experience than its successor, but...
You know what? I will watch The Conjuring again. I'm sure of it. Probably soon, too. Like, if somebody else I knew came down and we were like, you want to watch a flick? Sure. Have you seen The Conjuring? No. I'd put it on again. Conjuring 2, I can't recommend anybody see it, unfortunately. Sorry to James Wan, sorry to fucking New Line Cinema, sorry to anybody that's involved in that money, trying to make money off of it.
Well, it's probably going to make money.
Well, I'm sure it is, but it's just far inferior to the original.
We go on these shows to inform people, but every time I open my mouth, another one of these little ass academics pops up, tries to undo everything we've done.
Could you please take a breath?
I know. I'm counting to 10. Counting to 10.
And there you have it, folks. Finally, The Conjuring of the Two. Obviously mixed feelings here tonight. I loved introducing the first film to Brian and Nick. They had a great time. Unfortunately, the sequel left us wanting. Admittedly, expectations were high, especially after we rushed to the show to catch it, still exhilarated by the original, but I think we made some good points. We didn't hate it. Conjuring 2 has some good scares and spooky moments, but the cons outweigh the pros. It's doing very well at the box office, and most reviews I've been reading have been positive. Maybe we're in the minority. I don't know. Ed Warren passed away August 2006, but his wife Lorraine is still going strong at 89. She's still lecturing and giving interviews. She was a consultant on both Conjuring films and still maintains her museum of cursed items. Whether you believe in their craft or not, take some time to read up on their history. There's a lot of great stories to be had. I'd like to thank our friend Steve Staples for joining us for the second part of the show. It was great having him. I hope this episode was worth the wait. We'll try to get back to you sooner the next time. If you remember at the beginning of the show, I mentioned our last session was destroyed by technical difficulties. If you're interested in what that show was supposed to be, we were covering Night of the Creeps.
Thrill me.
Bzzz, gone. Oh well. Maybe some other time. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wampum saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you, and we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, Educating Your Fears.
Fuck, do something! Say something, you fucking stupid demonic nun! Do something!
Use your words.